Today we're continuing in our series called Connected, and we've been talking about how all of us live such busy lives, and in our busy lives, it's easy to forget or neglect our need for connection, that we were made to be connected. We're made to be connected in three ways. We're made to be connected to God, we're made to be connected to one another, to do life together, and we're made to be connected to the world, to reach out our hand to make an impact. And so the thing is what we've been doing, obviously there's Legos all over the stage, and so we've been using Legos to illustrate this principle of being connected. Obviously a Lego is kind of nothing unless it's connected to something, right? And so we started out in week one by talking about the most important thing, if we're talking about building our lives, the most important thing is to make sure we have the right foundation. Of any kind of thing that's built anywhere, the foundation is most important. And so we talked about how important it is to make God the foundation. And we said this in week one, that if you build on any other foundation than Jesus, then everything else you build in your life won't stand. If you build on any other foundation than Jesus, everything else you build in your life won't stand. The thing is, no other area of our life is strong enough to hold up the weight of our life. And so we talked about God's connection to me and my connection to God, abiding in this relationship. Through that, God can bring life to every single area. Everything else we add on to our life, God can bring life to it. And so we talked about the importance of the main primary connection. Jesus is the vine. Then we moved on to talk about our connection to other people. You know, and what we talked about in week two, we talked about serving and the importance of how not just serving, and that's a good thing to do, but how when we serve, we actually get connected to other people. In fact, we've seen this here at the Fountain. One of the first places that people oftentimes connect is when they start serving. They start meeting other people. They start to be connected to one another. But also when we serve, God connects your serving and my serving, and you may have a gift in your life. You're like, God, I don't even know how this can be used for anything. Like, you know, all it is this. And all of a sudden we leverage that gift, and you leverage your gift, and you leverage your gift, and God brings it together, and you're like, whoa, I never realized that you wanted it all to do something as this all get to connected together. Then last week, we talked about, like I said, something that I really feel like God has laid on my heart. Some of the mostly for us and for this church is the importance of community. You know, when we started the Fountain, one of the things that we said is this is an area we knew. This is an area where people consistently have told us, I've been here for 2 years or for 5 years or for 8 years, and I feel like I don't know very many people. I feel like I'm not connected to anyone. And we said, you know what? We want to become a church that becomes a true community, where people get connected, yes, to each other, but through that connection, it's a springboard to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus, a dynamic community. And we talked about the importance of this, and what I've learned, is that when things get busy in our life, this is the number one connection that we tend to neglect the most. We, especially guys, we start to say, well, I don't need you, and I don't need you, I don't need those connections, I'm busy, you know, I got stuff going on, right? But the importance of being in community together. And we said that community doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen by just investing or by just being in proximity to people. It happens by investing your life in people. Well, today what we want to do is we're going to be adding another building block to what God wants to build in our lives. And today we're talking about this building block of generosity. Generosity. Now, here's the crazy thing about generosity. That as we were thinking about these three vital connections, the crazy thing about generosity is it is one of the very few things in our lives that is connected to all three vital connections. All three connections are a part of giving. In fact, because of God's connection to me and my connection to God, when we're generous, like we can be generous in a way that goes beyond ourselves because of our connection to God. Because God is a generous God, right? At the same time, it also connects our relationship to one another. It's one of those things where when you give, just like serving, that when you give or when you are generous with your time and your talent and your treasure, all those three are generosity, your time, talent, and treasure. We're going to talk about that. But when you're generous with that and all of a sudden it gets combined with people all throughout the church, you become part of a dynamic team where God uses it in a much bigger way. But then also, generosity is one of those things that actually, where God reaches out his hand to extend and to connect the world to him. Generosity. And so as we think about generosity today, here's what I want you to think about. I want you to imagine this, maybe some stories that you might have in your life. I want you to think about this. What is the most generous thing that you have ever experienced someone do for you? What is the most generous thing that a person ever did for you? You got you thinking about some things? You may have to think for a minute. Here's another thing. Another way to think about it is this. What is the most generous thing you ever did for somebody else? What's the most generous thing you ever did for somebody else? It's kind of two things. And the thing I found is some of you, I've heard your stories. Some of you have crazy and sometimes emotional stories of how you've experienced generosity. I mean, some of you people have in some big ways, they have given you something that was so sacrificial. They've done something for you, something that was so generous and sacrificial that it blew you away. On the other hand, for many of us, we can say, you know what? There has been a time in my life where I was so generous in a big, big way, and God met me in that place, and it was so meaningful and impactful. And it's one of those things where maybe for some of you, you know, there was something that you had in your life. You know, maybe there was something in your home, and you sold it. Yeah, or you could have sold it, but instead of selling it, you see a need that's out in the world. You see somebody who's in need, and you're like, you know what? Why don't I just give it to you? Maybe that was your generous thing that you did. Maybe for some of us, you remember that time when you first decided to trust God with your giving. Maybe to trust God with a true tithe, by tithing to God. And it seemed crazy. I mean, there was part of you that was like, what am I doing? You know, this doesn't make sense. This is irrational, right? But there was something in you that you also experienced this extreme joy because you knew that you were being obedient to God. And at the same time, you were so scared to death at first, like, oh no, what's going to happen now? But all of a sudden, you had this joy when you saw how God provided for you in ways that didn't make sense, generosity. It's one of those things where, for me, when I think of people who have been generous to me, I've got countless and countless and countless examples. But I thought of one of the things I thought about. My sister Mackenzie just took off to Tennessee to college, so that's on my brain right now. And I was thinking, you know, there were several people who committed to give scholarships to me, and also especially my parents who committed to save and to give extremely extravagantly so that I could go through school with no debt. That was generous, right? Another thing that comes to mind, though, is when Mandy and I were in seminary. I was in seminary. She was there. So we were in seminary together. And it was our last year of marriage, or excuse me, our first year of marriage, not last year of marriage. Pray for me. Anyway, my first year of marriage, and she's not in here, is she? Okay, good. I told you last week if you're here, like when I was in seminary, like she was working and I was not. I was in school, we were paying for that, and man, we were like poor, you know, like it was great time, but we didn't have very much. We weren't just poor, we were po. You know, couldn't afford the OR, you know? And so, but anyway, it was great. It was a great time. And we decided one night that we were going to go on a date night together. And we did this frequently, but we went on this date night together and we were at P.F. Chang's, like one of her favorite restaurants. And so we're eating and, you know, I was like, man, this is great, investing in marriage. But then I started like looking around, like, where is our waiter? Like, come on, dude, like I'm ready for the check, you know? I mean, this is kind of the leader in me. I'm ready to move to the next thing, right? Here's the thing. I was kind of like, why is he taking so long? And finally, I was like, hey, I didn't snap at him. I said, hey, waiter, you know, can I get our check? And he walks over smiling. I'm like, what is he so happy about, you know, taking his time? And when he came to me, he didn't give me the bill. He gave me this note that was from an anonymous person, and he was smiling. And we read the note, and it said something like this. When we saw you guys tonight, we remembered that early season in our marriage, and we wanted to do something to invest in yours. And we found out that our bill had been completely covered, but what was so emotional for us is just realizing that somebody saw something in us, and they wanted to be generous back to us. And it's interesting because they were, I don't know who it was, but they were probably in a season in their life where they were probably at a very different stage where it's just dinner, no big deal, pay for their dinner. But for us, we were in a season of our life, we were like, this is so much. And it was so impactful for us, and we realized in that moment, in a weird way, God provides, right? Now here's the thing, it's interesting because I can just imagine how this couple felt, though. Like, we were blown away, but just imagine the joy, how tickled they were, as my mom would say, that of just remembering back to that stage that they used to be in and looking at us and realizing, wouldn't this be cool if we could leverage what God has done in our life and we can be a blessing to them? And it's one of those things where it reminds me in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Here's what the Apostle Paul says about this. He says, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus when he says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, how many of you know it's a blessing to receive? Like, all of us know that, right? Peyton just had his birthday, and man, it is a blessing to receive. You know, this boy is so happy with Spider-Man and Batman and all the mans that, you know, all the heroes in his life that he's received it. But what Jesus is saying is not that it's not a blessing to receive. It is. But just like this couple, I just imagine them, it is even more of a blessing when you get to become generous toward God or generous to someone else, and you get to stand back and watch and see how your generosity has made an impact. So here's the thing. You think about your story, okay? Think about what that is, how you've been generous or how people have been generous to you. Now here's the crazy thing about this. The most generous act, the most generous thing you could ever experience on this earth will never compare to the God's generosity toward you. The most generous act, the most generous thing you could ever encounter on this earth will never compare to the extreme way that God has been generous to you. The thing is, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul was writing this letter, and he was talking about this. It's a letter that he wrote to this guy named Philemon, kind of a weird name, but go with it. And Philemon, it's actually a book in the Bible, one chapter, so if you try to find it, you know, it's a scavenger hunt in the New Testament. But Paul is writing this letter, and he's encouraging Philemon. Philemon was this follower of Jesus and this friend. And we learn in the scriptures that Philemon was a guy who had this extreme generosity so much that he actually opened up his home so that at least part of the church, or maybe all the church in the Colossian church, could come and meet in his home. Generous, right? And so Paul is writing this letter, one chapter, to encourage him. And here's what the Apostle Paul said in Philemon chapter 1, verse 4 through 6. Here's what it says. New Living Translation here. Paul says, I always thank my God when I pray for you, Philemon, because I keep hearing about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people. Now, here's the key verse. And I am praying that you will put into practice the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things we have in Christ. So let's keep this up for a minute. Here's the thing, what Paul is saying, you notice this, what he's saying to us here is he's praying that we would put into practice our generosity. Now, the thing that's interesting when it comes to spiritual things is in America, we tend to think of them as abstract, ethereal things, you know, like a feeling that we have, you know, and we tend to think generosity is kind of like this abstract mindset of being generous. But what Paul is saying is don't let that just become a mindset of being generous in your mind. Put generosity into action. Let it flow from what God has done in you. And it's interesting because when he's saying this, he's like, you know, do you understand why? He says, when you understand and when you experience all the good things that Christ has done for you. The thing I was thinking about is if we could just imagine, if we could just realize, understand, and experience what God has really done to pour out his blessings on our life, man, it would change the way we live. It would change the way we see generosity. It would no longer be something that, oh gosh, we gotta be generous. It would start to be, wow, God, you have been so generous to me. And so how can I leverage what you've put in my hand, what you've put in my life, everything, my time, talent, and treasure, how can I leverage this to be generous back to you? See, this is what generosity really means. And so this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. And here's the thing I found, is that our view of God and our connection to God is really one of the things that shapes how generous we are. Let me say that again. Your view of God and your connection to God shapes how generous you are. Now, it's interesting because you think about that. I mean, how generous or how stingy we are oftentimes is a reflection of what we think of God, or at least how much we trust God. And here's the thing, you know this, there's a lot of people out there that think that God is some stingy God, that God is, you know, kind of like this God who is tight-fisted and he holds back his best blessings from us. And people live like that. It's almost like people view God like, you know what? God, like God's like, well, I've got all this grace and all this blessing and all this power, but I don't want to give them too much. Don't want to spoil them, you know? People think that that's the way God is. And so we start to think that God is some like angry judge or something like that. And the thing is, if you think that God is stingy and tight-fisted and holding back from you, why in the world? It's no wonder we would struggle to trust God. And at the same time, what happens when we think God is stingy, we almost always, as a fruit of that, we start to live stingy in our lives, don't we? Why would we be generous when we're not sure God has been generous to us? And so in that vein, oftentimes we tend to live with a scarcity mindset, a scarcity mindset. And a scarcity mindset, it says, look, I've got to hold on to what I've got because there's not enough to go around. I've got to hold on to what I've got because there's not enough to go around. Think about if somebody were to make a pie. Let's say Freeman makes a pie for us. Thanks, Freeman. He makes a pie. A scarcity mindset says, don't eat too much of the pie because I want to make sure there's enough for me. Like maybe get a little slice, but make sure that I've got enough for me. That's a scarcity mindset with the pie. Thanks, Freeman, for your pie. The other thing is, with a scarcity mindset, what happens is you tend to trust God little, except for the things that you can control. So that if God doesn't come through, it's kind of like, well, I can handle this on my own, right? A scarcity mindset. And with a scarcity mindset, what happens is it's easy to get stressed out about trying to hold on so tightly to our stuff and our resources. We get so into our stuff and resources, a scarcity mindset. Jim Cowart was my coach, church planting coach for 2 years, and he's an awesome pastor. And I heard him say this a couple weeks ago. He said this. He says, if what you own causes you worry and anxiety, then you don't own it. It owns you. And I was like, dang, you know, like that's like God speaking to me, right? And let me say it again. If what you own causes worry and anxiety, sometimes it does, that's, you know, then you don't own it. It owns you. And I think this is one of the reasons why God wants us to be generous. It's one of the things where God wants to show us his grace and glory. He wants to display his love and his power in your life. And so he invites us to be generous. In fact, I found that generosity is the one area of our life where we tend to trust God the least. We'll talk a little bit more about that. But the thing is, sometimes we do think that God is generous, but we struggle to trust him. And when we struggle to trust him, we're not generous with what we have. And so that's on the one side, a scarcity mindset. But when we read the Bible tells us a story of a very different God. Like of a God who is a God of abundant God. In fact, he's a God who's kind and generous and good, like we sang about. A God who is, you know, there is no need in this world and there's no need in your life that is too big for God. We read at the very beginning, this God who is the creator and the owner of everything in heaven and everything in earth. And it's one of those things where he has every single resource at his disposal because he made it, he created it. And even though God has all this stuff, we see in the scripture, I love this, this one verse where it says, while we were yet sinners. In other words, while we were so spiritually bankrupt, so undeserving of a connection with God because we'd run from him, run our own way, in the middle of all that, God generously gave to us his first and his best, his one and only Son, sent down from heaven to us. And when Jesus, the Son of God, comes to the earth, what does he do? He generously gives or he offers his life for us. He dies on the cross, he raises from the grave so that you and I could be invited to become sons and daughters of the living God. Not because of anything you did, but because of what Jesus has done for you. This is how much God loves us. In fact, here's what it says, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. I love this. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. This isn't just like a little bit of blessing, you know? Like, you know, John is talking about this, and he's like, do you see how great the love the Father has lavished on us, this abundant blessing in your life? He says that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. And so since we have this perfectly loving Heavenly Father, we have a God who delights in sharing his resources with his kids so that we can leverage those resources for the benefit of God and others. And so when we view God like that, we tend to have a very different mindset, not a scarcity mindset, but we tend to have an abundance mindset when we see that we have an abundant God. And so with an abundant mindset, it doesn't mean that we hold on tightly because there's not enough. An abundant mindset means this. An abundant mindset says, well, with God, there's always more to go around. With God, there's always more to go around. Going back to Freeman's pie that he made us, you know? Like, we invite friends over this time because we have an abundant God. We're like, hey, you want to eat half the pie? Eat the whole pie. No big deal. We've got the ingredients. We'll make another one. There's plenty more where that came from when we have an abundant God. And so it's interesting because when we think about this mindset, it's we start to realize that no matter how generous we become in our lives, we can never outgive the generosity of God. This is how generosity changes. So when you start to see, experience, and understand, as Paul says to Philemon, when you understand and experience all that God has done for you, the only reasonable response to a God who has given everything to you is to turn back your life and to give it back generously to our generous God. And so the thing is, if following Jesus means being generous, then I want to grow in generosity. Like, I want to get better at it. And maybe I don't always want to, you know, but it's like, you know what? Like, if this is what it means to follow Jesus, I want to get better at that. I want to grow. And we've talked in the, you know, obviously generosity is our time and our talent and our treasure, all three things. And it's interesting because what happens in our lives is oftentimes we're generous with one of the three or two of the three. We're generous with our time and we're generous with our talents, let's say, but maybe not generous with our treasure. Or we're generous with our treasure, but not with our time and our, you know, and the others. And so the thing is, God, what it means to be a steward and generous is to say, how could I take my time and my treasure and my time and my talents and my treasure and leverage those for who you are, to be generous? And so we already talked in our serving week about being generous with our time and our talents. So let me focus on how to be more generous with our treasure. Just three quick ideas of how we can grow in generosity with our treasure. Here's number one, how we can grow in generosity. Number one, trust God with the tithe. Trust God with the tithe. Now this is generosity 101, Christianity 101, about what it means to be generous. Trust God with the tithe. The tithe literally means, in the Bible, the word tithe literally means one-tenth. So when people say, I am giving the tithe, that means one-tenth. And so here's what it says in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30. It says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. The word holy means set apart. So a tenth of everything is to be set apart. It's holy. It belongs to the Lord. So that means if I get $100 today, right? That'd be a pretty good day, right? If I get $100, that means that the first $10 of that isn't technically mine. It means that the first $10, actually the 10%, one-tenth, a tithe, actually belongs to the Lord. It's to be set apart for God, to remember who God is, to remember that God is the great giver, that he is the source, and everything else is just a resource. And so this is kind of might seem a little crazy. Well, here's some more scripture. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Here's what the Lord says there. It says, bring the whole tithe, one-tenth, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. And here's the promise. And see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I love this promise. How many of you know there's been a fight on last night? There was some big boxing match. Yeah, many of you probably didn't pay for it. It was expensive to watch it. But if you did, more power to you. But anyway, I love how boxers are like taunting each other. They're like, well, if you do this, I'm going to do this and this and this. And they're like pancaking on, you know, the trash talk. Well, on the opposite end, I love the promises of God because he's not holding back. It's not a trash talk. It's like, it's a promise. It's like, man, if you just trust me in this area, if you test me in this area, see if I won't throw open the floodgates of heaven. Whoa, that's a big deal to bless you. Now, does that mean if you start giving to the Lord, then you're going to get a new car and a new house? No. But God's going to bless you and God will show you that he will provide. Now, I used to think, well, that's just only in the Old Testament. That was an Old Testament thing. Jesus doesn't even talk about it. Well, found out Jesus actually does talk about tithing. Matthew 23, read that sometime. But in Matthew 23, Jesus says several things, but he says, and don't neglect tithing. He talks about the importance of that. And so you may be thinking, well, look, in order to do that, like, that's crazy. Like, I would have to change a whole lot of things about the way I'm living. Like, I'd have to, like, change my whole budget and my whole spending patterns. We'd have to spend a lot differently. Like, are you saying, like, I've got to rearrange my whole life around God? And God's like, yeah, that's what I want you to do. The thing is, just like Dave Ramsey says, we have to live like no one else so we can live like no one else. There's so many people, you know, where financial stuff is a bondage for so many. And the thing is, we want to help you to find financial freedom. And one of the ways that God does that by showing us that it's just stuff, it's just resources, is by helping us to practice generosity. And so here's the thing. It's one of those things where, for me, like I said, this is an area where we tend to trust God the least. What I've found in my life, so much freedom in this. It's scary as all get out when you first start doing that, you know? But it's one of those things where I've found that when you finally trust God with your money, you're finally trusting God. When you finally trust God with your money, you're finally trusting God. This is that one area that's so hard. And it means that you don't just, like, give. You have to live differently. Will it mean that we got to trust God to provide for us in times when it doesn't make sense? Absolutely. But it's worth it every time. And it's one of those things where when we trust God, when we worship God with our first and best, then we can trust him with the rest. So here's the second thing. So first is to trust God with the tithe. Number two, idea of how you can grow in generosity. Round up. This is really a fun one that I learned from Craig Groeschel several years ago. The practice of rounding up. For you math people out there, you know what that means, rounding up. So the story that Craig Groeschel shared that I was like, this is so cool. What a cool way to think about generosity. Is he went through this like almost like a Sonic kind of drive-through, and the bellhop, you know, came out to serve him, and he had just ordered like a drink, and the bill was like $1.50. And with this $1.50, you know, drink, you know, he didn't have like $1.50, so he gave him, you know, like a bigger bill that, you know, didn't match $1.50, you know. He gave him the bill, and for some reason, he just said, keep the change. And the guy looked at the money, and he looked at him, looked at the money, he looked at him, and he said, and he was kind of like, are you serious? And he's like, yes, just keep it, and he drove off. Well, apparently, this guy knew who Craig was. He knew that he was a pastor in the area, and he didn't like him. Funny enough, didn't like him. And so, but he thought, well, you know what? This guy's kind of real, I guess. And so he thought, well, maybe I've been thinking all wrong about this church stuff and God. And so he decided to come to Craig's church, and he showed up one Sunday, and it was an okay experience, and he thought, well, I'll come back. And he kept coming back, and he eventually gave his life to Jesus. And it all started with this simple act of generosity, rounding up. I know some people who their tithe might be $480, let's say, but they choose, you know what, I'm going to round up, and they make it $500. Mandy and I have done that a lot. Another thing, let's say that you're getting school supplies for your kids. You know, you're buying school supplies or whatever you're doing. And you say, you know what, this isn't a big deal for me. And you get a few more and you bring it to the teacher and you say, hey, if there's anybody in the class who needs extra school supplies, why don't you give it to them? You round up. Here's number three, another way that we can do that. Amazing things happen when we round up. Number three is we can, leverage a resource to meet a need. Idea about way you can be more generous. Leverage a resource to meet a need. There may be something that you've got in your house, in your garage, some investment that somebody has given to you at some point, that it's interesting, instead of selling it, what if you were able to take that resource to help meet a need in somebody's life? And it might mean that you sell something in order to give the money to help that. We saw this happen several times in our Imagine More campaign, and we already have. One of the things that's interesting, we had so many people make these incredible sacrificial pledges to help to get us into our future church home with a 24/7 presence. And we had people who are like, you know what? I just feel like God's calling me to help meet that need in a bigger way. And so they made a commitment, but then they realized, I mean, there's something in my house, or there's a stock thing that we have sitting around, whatever. And they decided to, you know what? We've got this. We want to help meet the need. And they leveraged what they had for the benefit of a need that was there. I don't know what that means for you, but I want to encourage us to grow in generosity. Imagine what could happen if God's people became so generous that the world around us started to look around and realize, whoa, this isn't just something they go to. This is who they are. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you because God's people, when we're generous, it connects us to the heart of God. And it also, God promises to connect your generosity to impact the world. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for this amazing truth about generosity. We thank you that, God, you are not after our resources, that you are not after our money, that what you care about most is our lives. And we thank you so much that you invite us, not out of obligation, but opportunity. You invite us to become part of what you want to do and what you're wanting to do in the world. But God, I thank you that it starts with these three connections. It starts with my connection with you. God, thank you that when I give, you teach us all that you provide and that you care. And you want to display your love and your glory and your power in our life. Thank you, and help us to trust you in that way. God, we thank you that it also connects us to one another when we are generous. But also, God, thank you for the opportunity that through our generosity together, that you actually reach out your hand of blessing onto the lives of the world around us. So God, I just pray that you would encourage us to take a step, no matter where we are in our generosity, so that we can become more like our generous God. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.